there will be only one of you for all time. So fearlessly be yourself. Unless you're a real jerk, then we'd prefer you tried being somebody new.
Today, comedian Rachel Hall joins us to talk about self-love and how so many horrors of the modern age can be traced to the unquenchable thirst for social media stardom. Rachel used to work inspecting ads that ran on a social media giant to make sure they were dong-free. And let's just say, the thing she saw changed her life forever.
Plus, a U.S. court rules President Trump can't block people on Twitter.
The CGI Lion King, starring the voice of Beyonce, opens in theaters this weekend.
Mariah Carey says even more outlandish shit.
And the difference between hoping and wishing.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Ooh. Rachel, do you know how to slap a fan?
Do I know how to slap?
Because you're on Feast of Fun. These are skills you need. You got it, girl.
Oh.
I thought you said you didn't know how to slap a fan.
No, I said I don't have my own. Oh. Do you not understand? If I had my own fan, I'd be the most annoying person on earth.
Why?
Like, everywhere I go. Everywhere. Excuse me, ma'am. What do you want to drink? Can I get a whiskey? Just like everywhere. Everywhere.
Listen, it's hot out today. You're allowed to have a fan.
I'd wear it. I'd have it if it was cold.
The sun is relentless. You have to always use it for dramatic tension and pause. Make a statement.
Oh.
Make an introduction and then the punchline. Oh, Rachel, I see you're wearing your favorite lip gloss. Sperm.
Yes!
See how that works?
It is. That is true. What's my name? My name? It's Rachel. Right,
Miss Hall, if you're nasty,
you are nasty, right? I hope you're nasty. At least, please tell me you're nasty.
I hope I am. I don't know. I feel like I should be, but in like reality, maybe I just haven't had the opportunities enough to be nasty.
I like that. Yeah. It's about when God opens a door, you say, you know, a garage door would be better.
Yeah.
I need more space that truck in.
A part of me is, when people are like, what's your kinky level or what's your freak level? I'm like, in reality, it's probably like a 4. But that's because like the guys that I've been with, they're not doing all that extra. But like in my head, I feel like it's probably like a 6 or a 7.
Well, what is it you want to do that you haven't been doing?
Oh,
you're familiar
goodness.
With a lot of kink.
I am.
You used to have a job working for a big corporation.
Yeah, looking at dicks all day.
Looking at dicks all day.
How do I get this job?
I don't even know how I got. No, another comic sent. They were like, my job's hiring. I was like, I need a job. Mm-hmm. And so I applied, and then like they called me in the next week, and then the next week after that, they were like, here are our policies on dicks. Read over it.
What was the job actually entail?
So it was like looking at ads and making sure they were compliant.
So you're basically working for a social media giant.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so it was just kind of like, this ad works, this one does it. Oh, you can't say that word. Next, like moving on. But like there were several different groups all doing the same things, but everyone kind of, like they didn't disclose what the other groups were doing because they didn't want us talking to each other. It was just kind of like everyone is like secret.
It's like secret cells. So if one cell gets killed, or they can't talk about the other cell.
Yeah, I guess.
This sounds like either Russia or Facebook. It's about the same thing.
But it was like we would do all that. Yeah. And then, I mean, of course, there was plenty of other like get rich quick schemes and you know, lose 100 pounds in 24 hours like schemes.
Personal
and,
trainers hate him.
Yeah. Just
with
like
that
all
one
those.
Weird trick, I can teach you how to have a 10-inch penis.
Exactly. Those or the whole like, oh, do you want to lose weight now? Drink a gallon of chia seeds, and then you'll lose all your weight when you pee in the morning. And it's like,
is that
what?
Is that the end of the video? Because I always clicked on those things, and I was like, after 20 minutes, I'm like, damn it, tell me. Like,
yeah, that's basically it. It was just kind of like
chia seeds.
But they want you to order it.
Oh, no.
Or something stupid. But, like, the majority of the time, it would be, like, normal ad, normal ad, normal ad, dick, normal ad, tits, normal ad porn. Normal ad dick. Like, it was just like, what?
Did you ever approve an ad just for shits and giggles? Oh, I did it all the time. Send this dick out into the world.
But you know what? We did it all the time because it fell within the rules.
Oh, really?
These people would get so smart and they would be like, okay, so I can't show, like, for, like, with porn, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we can't show penis entering vagina, mm-hmm. but if it's already in there and it's like halfway through the page, then it's fine.
Oh, wow.
So if it's below, like, the
so if it's like a below a certain point, or if you can't see insertion, like, there was one video that used to pop up all the time, and I swear to God, I was like the only person that got it. It was like this Asian woman sitting on this guy's lap in a car, and she's like, they're like fucking in the car as he's driving, mm-hmm. and she's just like all the sounds, all of it, whatever. And we had to improve it every fucking time because you couldn't see for sure mm-hmm. that they were fucking.
Now, was there a different?
Because she had a shirt on.
Okay, was there a different relationship between what was acceptable for men, women,
yes.
straight, queer, gay, yes. that kind of stuff? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes,
I know. Like in the past, our YouTube videos and stuff like that, we weren't allowed to monetize videos if we had stuff if men were kissing in it back in the day. Like,
it was
horrifying that there was this double standard. Yeah. You could set your pubic hair on fire on YouTube and get monetization for it, but you could not show two men kissing.
Like, yeah, it was that way, like male and female, not so much like, oh, if it was two guys or whatever. Well, actually, that's not true. Because I think, at least that was for us. Like, if it was India or something, mm-hmm. they would, like, tag that as illegal because you can't do that over there. But, like, here it wasn't.
You can't now, honey.
You can't. But, like, here it wasn't so bad.
You worked it.
But, like, yeah. if it was, say, like, if it was a girl in a bikini, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Whatever. We would have to tag her for not having no clothes on. But a man in a swim trunk, we were like, oh, it's fine.
Mm-hmm. So we would be like,
what the hell? That's not fair. Why do the guys get to walk around butt naked? But this girl who was clearly just trying to be cool, we have to throw her in the trash can. Mm-hmm. It made absolute no sense.
Mm. I blame Kim Kardashian and all this stuff, you know?
I blame a lot of things for the Kardashian family.
And part of it is, I think, is this idea that it's about making social media into something much bigger than it is, as opposed to content creation.
Yes.
And treating the sharing of that content as more important as the content itself.
My biggest problem with the Kardashians, and I include the Jenners, which I have a whole when it comes to Caitlyn, but my whole problem with the Kardashians is I think I would have more respect for them if you just said that you're porn stars. Stop trying to make us believe you do anything else besides porn.
Well, part of it is they want to charge a lot of money. They want to be...
Charge plenty of money.
They
want to
be the Melania Trumps of porn, basically. You know?
Well, how many of them have really done porn? The only one that really did it was Kim Kardashian, right?
Well, yeah. Kim's the only one that did that. And then she brought her sisters along. And then, I mean, I will
say... But they function like porn stars,
in a sense. But they function like porn stars. Everything yeah. about you is a girl who couldn't get on to Love and Hip Hop. So now you live your life on Instagram being buck-ass naked and then being upset that people are like, why are you always buck ass naked? Like,
have you seen the social network TikTok?
I've heard
Asia?
Of it, but I don't fully understand what
there's
it is.
There's a huge backlash on it online. Part of it is because it is walking that fine line in the sense that, you know, like we're familiar with social media walking that fine line in nudity and sexual activity, right?
Yeah.
TikTok walks the very unnerving, dubious line of pedophilia.
Oh, Jesus.
So it's encouraging young children to act all sexy and lip sync to their favorite songs. And the and sexier I'm, the video,
the more
it gets shared. Mm. And so you're having 6-year-old, 8-year-olds, you know, lip syncing to a very aggressive sexual.
Twerking in a camera.
Twerking to the camera and stuff. And, you know, stimulating like oral sex and stuff like that. And
it's,
and that's getting shared. And those,
they're watching the Kardashians.
Probably. You can't even say that sentence anymore. The parents are probably like, the kid's 8, so the mom's 25. Mm. Like,
They grew up with it.
As someone who is technically a millennial, I cannot stand you people. I cannot stand millennials. You are annoying.
Youth culture right now is being co-opted to fulfill the needs of corporations and oligarchies, as opposed to driving social awareness and justice forward.
Like, I don't, it's weird. Cause like being a comic, I have all the social medias, but I'm really bad at keeping up with them because I want you to come to my shows. I want you to like me, like, yay, wonderful, lovely. But like, when it comes to your personal life, I'm telling you right now, I don't care. Like, I scroll through things so fast. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's like, why do you care if you lost a follower today? Unless that's your business. Mm-hmm. If you're just a person, why do you give a flying shit if someone who was not paying attention to what you were posting in the first place is no longer following you, which is creepy. No one wants to be followed.
Well, I think they want that validation, right? And so you put something out there in the universe. You're like, hey, look at me. I'm on another fabulous beach somewhere in the world. Like my photo. And it's like that person is no longer following you. They're not going to see you at that beach. And so that beach doesn't mean as much to you anymore. Good. Now, does it?
At least people need to realize, how would you really feel? Okay. Mm-hmm. If, say, every day you woke up and then there's literally just people watching you.
Well, I think that's
part
of the...
This is not Big Brother, the freaking show, which I did not know was still a thing until like 6 months ago.
Oh, yeah.
I thought this show got canceled years ago.
I think they took a year off and then they came back or something, right? Is that how it worked?
Every year they put it... I mean, in the UK, it's huge. Mm-hmm.
I know in the UK, it's like a... It's like
but
a
surveillance net. Culture is, you know, here to stay, and it's part of our... You know, it's American culture, it's Western culture at this point. And so the thing that I'm sort of like, you know, our vantage point as content creators and your vantage point as somebody who regulated ads for one of the largest corporations in the world who does online advertising is that, you know, in some ways it's about the interpersonal relationships that matter.
Yeah.
And not necessarily like the social media is kind of a window. It's an entrance into real life relationships with people. And if you lose that, if you forget that, then you're just fucked.
But I think most people forgot that. And all these people who, like my job is Instagram and I go on Instagram and I take a, that's an excuse to not have a real skill or talent. And I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That's not your thing. I get it. People are paying you to be like, look, I drank water today with these designer ice cubes. Yay. But like,
well, are you in love with anybody on social media? Do you stalk anybody? Do you admire anybody?
No. I follow plenty of people.
Like, if you look at all my... I'm a little bit embarrassed.
I don't care that much.
That someone's going to go, and, you know, the audience is doing this right now, but go on my Fausto Fornos on Instagram and look at who I'm following, and it's all, like, bodybuilders and... Like, I got...
It's all hot guys.
It's basically
Sebastian
guys...
Sebastian can scroll in it before he goes to bed and jerk off.
And the thing about it is, like, I used to have more, like, drag queens and Rue Girls and stuff like that, but it was killing my boner.
So many drag queens.
It was killing my boner. So now the Feast of Fun is more about artists and like interesting people and stuff. But mine is all dick pics.
See, I need to do that. I need to like have two separate ones. Cause like right now, like I have my personal Facebook page, which is private and it is locked and you can try to find it if you want, but ain't nothing on there for you to see. So
am I following that right now?
No, we're friends. So you can follow. You can.
But I'm seeing your dirty shit.
Yeah. You can see that. All
cause I get a giant warning when I look at it and it says, you're not seeing Rachel Hall's photos.
Yeah.
Nope. And I'm like, well then who is?
Is this like
your mother?
If we're friends, then you can see my stuff if I didn't put you on like some weird list. But like
you
I have like
you
300
didn't greenlist me.
I have like 300 friend requests.
And I'm inviting you to an event that Beyonce could
friends.
Be going to.
We are friends on Facebook.
No, but I can't see all your photos.
Really?
Oh.
It's warning me like you're not really
no.
friends with
you
Rachel.
You can see it.
I can.
Yeah, it says that for everyone. It says Rachel Hall's profile is locked everyone.
You disappeared for a while and then all of a sudden you popped up because of the Little Mermaid controversy. You're like, nobody's really mad about
Nobody's mad about that. I'm sorry.
We got people on our Feast of Fun community page on Facebook.
And you know what? All those people, they don't have jobs and they have nothing else to do and they don't have any love in their heart and they probably have 17 cats. So
your point of contention is with people who think it's an issue or people who are mad mad that they cast an African-American woman of color?
I think that if you poll 10 white people, two of them care. And by and with those two, they care enough to say, I mean, she's white, so why not white girl white? And that's it.
Yeah.
I think one of those two people are like, how dare you put this nigger in my Disney movie? And that's it. I think the majority of people do not care.
Those are the 20% that are voting for Trump and are keeping us back.
No, 38%.
You know, those are the people that are keeping us back.
Well, yeah. Then Trump is... I want so badly, mm-hmm. more than anything, mm-hmm. for whoever is interviewing Trump to just stop him and just literally slap him. Just bitch slap back at the hand across the face.
Oh, what's that?
And then
accomplish?
Tiffany New York Pollard, like getting spit in the face like it was pumpkin on season 1 of Flavor of Love. I want someone to do that to Donald Trump so bad.
Mm. Megan Rapinoe just recently on CNN just basically said Trump is a monster and she refuses to meet with him and that he has a duty and responsibility to represent all Americans mm-hmm. and he's failing miserably at his job.
Someone should go and while they're there, cuss him out in front of live television. Because that's the thing. No one wants to say anything because it's live television. They feel like, oh, well, he's the president and okay, well, maybe if I just talk to him like an intelligent human being and okay, and yeah, I'll listen and da-da-da. Mm-hmm. You know he's a fucking idiot. I'm being dead honest. If I got invited to the White House and I knew there were going to be cameras there, do you not know that I would not act an ignorant ass fool? What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
So you're
not
hauled out by the Secret Service.
So I promise right now, because if you touch me, it's going to be a hate crime.
Do you know what happened to Eartha Kitt? Like LBJ. And Lady Bird Johnson invited her to the White House to talk about beautifying America. Mm-hmm. And she turns to Lady Bird Johnson and says, if you want to beautify America, you have to end the war in Vietnam. The youth of their country feel like their lives aren't worth a damn. And she's just like, okay. And she left. And then the rest of the decade, she had to work overseas.
Oh, overseas. She had to pull Josephine Baker and go to France.
Yeah, she couldn't work in the United States. And it was only until Disney actually brought her back to do what is the Emperor's New Groove that she kind of went back into the mainstream.
You can attempt to blacklist me all you want. I've always... It's not that I just feel like I'm such a badass.
but you are.
Like, I've always been like, I'm the wrong one. Yeah, like, if you want to act the ass and do all... I'm the wrong person to do it with. And
why is that though?
I know me.
Because you have no fear.
I know me, and if you are crazy enough to try me, then you are crazy enough for the results. Try me if you want to. Do it if you want.
Are you saying I wish you would come for me?
I wish you motherfucker would. Like, I wish you would. Like, please go for it. Go for it. Please try.
We explained this a while back on the podcast. What is the difference between hoping and wishing?
When someone's like, oh, I hope you do.
I hope you do. And I wish you would.
I think when someone was like, oh, I hope you do. I feel like at that point, they're just kind of like, at least for me, if I say, I hope you do that, I'm brushing you off. Mm-hmm. Like me, I'm like, yeah, okay, I hope you do. I know you're not going to do it, but like, whatever. Yeah. Sure. Okay. I hope you do. But if I'm telling you, I wish you fucking would. That means I'm already prepared, gun cocked and loaded. Like, okay, you want to try? Please. I fucking wish you would. Because now I'm excited.
But like, the word hope is usually coded like with white culture.
More positive. Though,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's also like, you know, when you feel like you really don't have any hope, mm-hmm. you don't have any positive mm-hmm. outcome, mm-hmm. that your well-being into the future is in your hands, mm-hmm. then you're like, I wish you'd try something with me.
Well, you know? My friend explained it to me like this. She said it was like, you go to the movie theater and you're like, there's a big difference between, I hope nobody sits next to me. And then another, or like, I wish a motherfucker would sit next to me.
Yeah, because if you hope no one sits next to you, if they do, you don't care. Yeah, you're like, okay, I'm
it's
annoyed.
It's suffocating.
When you wish it, you're like, there are repercussions.
Exactly.
When you hope, like, whatever.
I just want someone in, like, on a live interview, because he loves to do things live. Mm-hmm. I just want someone to just... I need someone to put on their reading glasses and read Donald Trump to filth.
He would just be like, this is over, and he'd have the whole, you know.
He would, no, he would, yeah. excuse me. That's all he would do, and try to, like, get you to shut. But, like, I need one Gayle King, strong-ass, mm-hmm. like, black woman, someone to be like, I know you did not just cut me off. Like, who the fuck you think you're talking to? And then just, like, I want to see Donald Trump mm-hmm. cry.
Well, what's so depressing, too, is, like, you know, if he doesn't get reelected, then he's just going to go on speaking tours and make tons of money unless his ass is in jail. And
he needs to go to jail.
He needs to go to
jail. He's broken the law various times.
He needs to go to jail.
He needs to go to jail.
But they'll never, I don't think anybody in politics is going to want to put a president in jail.
And we'll see. Think about how evil Nixon was, and mm-hmm. we couldn't imagine somebody worse, and here comes Trump.
Mm-hmm. The only
think
way,
about how evil the next Trump is going to be, the next mm-hmm. Nixon's going to be.
The only way Trump is going to jail, or at least the only way that his current Scientology members are going to discontinue or disown him is if we truly do find out that he, like, is in charge of, like, a child sex ring, which I think he is.
That's in the and process.
I that's the only way. That mm-hmm. is, because in this country, and unfortunately in this country, if you are white, the only thing you can do to ruin your life is a sex crime against children.
There is a woman most recently that she said in a deposition that basically Trump chained her to a bed post.
I believe it.
And raped her.
I believe it.
And smacked her.
And there's accusations that he raped a 13-year-old, right?
And he said she asked him after the rape.
Yeah, he used to walk into Miss Teen USA rooms just like as they're changing, like, what are you doing?
The woman said to Trump after he had raped her, what if I'm pregnant? And then he just pulls out like hundreds of dollars and said, get yourself a goddamn abortion. And it's just like, to me, that this stuff sits well with evangelicals just shows the level of hypocrisy and the level of bullshit, you know. And the fact, you know, that Jim Baker, who's a total fraud, that Jim Baker from Jim and Tammy Baker, he's the one who's gone on television these days spouting how awesome Trump is.
Jim Baker from Jim and Tammy Faye Baker is dead and has been dead for a decade. That's a different Jim Baker.
Oh, it's a different Jim Baker?
Of course it is.
He looks like him, though.
He's been dead for 15, 20 years.
I feel like all the what do you call them?
Evangelicals. Evangelistas.
All the evangelical white people look alike. They all work at Fox News. Mm-hmm. Every single
he
one.
He's not a dead honey. James Orson Baker, born January 2nd, 1940, former host with his then wife, Tammy Faye Baker of the PTL Club. He is not dead,
he
honey.
Should be.
No, she's dead.
She died.
She did. She waited.
Yes.
But it's her eyelashes are still alive.
A cover up of hush money paid to church secretary Jessica Hahn. Does this not ring a bell? He is back on television. He is doing
shit. How old is he?
He's 79 years old, and he's on television.
Okay.
Selling buckets.
Just to be clear, though, there is another evangelist who's who is named Jim Baker, who's more in the news these days. This guy is not in the news these days.
I feel like
the one who has the buckets of food that you can watch, he's on television
Does he give the buckets of food? Like,
well, he's
a
selling,
KFC?
It's basically like if there's a nuclear holocaust, Jim Baker is selling these buckets of food in order to survive Trump's Holocaust under, you know, because they want end times.
Because,
and stuff like that.
That's what's going to work.
Yeah. And so to me, I'm just like,
a bucket of
these people can't be trusted. They're full of shit, you know. But let's talk about something really awesome. We got invited to a movie screening.
Yeah.
Of The Lion King.
Yes. Everyone is going to be there.
Live action.
Which I don't understand. Why is it live action? Like,
it's CGI.
We can't train lions.
It's a different type of animation.
Just call it another animated. Just call it The Lion King, not live action Lion King.
What's live action animation? It's different. That's what they call it.
A simulation. No animals were used in the making of this film. I mean, they studied and they filmed animals and then they created computer graphics. So this is like Life of Pi.
Yeah.
These are all CGI animals, which is going to be really visually dazzling, I think.
I think it's going to be visually beautiful. I'm very excited to see it. I am a little worried.
You're worried because you're worried that the press event is going to have Beyonce and you don't know what you'll say.
Listen, everyone is going to be at this press event. Beyonce, Blue Ivy, Sir and Rumi, God might be there. You never know.
They're
going
to hold Blue Ivy like the Lion King.
I'm pretty sure that's how Blue Ivy was born. Like, she came out and then they literally just picked her up and Beyonce started singing. I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Warthog shows up.
From the day we arrive.
Wait, who's playing the Warthog?
Billy Eichner. The actual Warthog.
Oh, Billy Eichner? Yeah. Okay.
No, he plays the Meek Rat.
Oh, okay. He's Timon. Who's Pumbaa? Oh, Seth Rogen is Pumbaa.
Yeah.
Oh. Let me tell you something. Seth Rogen is fine. He's definitely gotten better looking. Money helps a lot of things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he has gotten better looking, mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. I think it's just style. Once you can afford to buy yourself a stylist, you get fine.
That's the thing. I see all these like Instagram, because I follow these Instagram models, and they post bullshit like this. Mm-hmm. They're like, I don't respect people who are out of shape. They're just like, you know.
And well, then don't follow them, Instagram people who
this is like a fucked up
failed
fitness.
Out of college and now you do this.
Let me read this to you. I read this on the show the other day, but I want to get your take on this.
Okay.
This is one guy wrote, why do I respect fit people?
Because I'm already tired. You're already vomiting.
Because listen to this, okay? Take it all in. Just try not to vomit.
Okay.
Because fit people with a physique is much more than how good they look. A well-built physique is a status symbol. It reflects how hard you worked for it. No money can buy it. You cannot inherit it. No one can steal it from you, and you cannot borrow it. A well-built physique cannot be held onto without constant work. It shows dedication. It shows discipline. It shows self-respect and dignity, patience, pathic. And that's why it's attractive to me. And I'm just like, being able to work out and knowing what to eat and knowing what to do and having the time to do it is a privilege. Mm-hmm.
That's, first of all, okay, whoever wrote that is lonely.
Listen, I'd like to make him not feel so
very
lonely.
Clearly lonely. As a fat person, I do work out.
Yes,
I'll take that.
You can call whatever you want to call yourself.
I personally don't think there's anything wrong with the word fat. Honestly,
I think this whole idea, I get it.
Everything is like body positivity and like Lizzo, I'm a lesbian. I love it. I'm here for it. That said, I don't think there's anything wrong with being fat. If you're fat, you're fat. If you're chubby, you're chubby. If you're not, you're not. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. No one cares. Like,
I want you to be happy.
If you're happy, then if whatever floats your boat, I'll swim.
Let's talk about a couple things. I want you to feel healthy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I want you to be able to move.
That's true.
I want you to get the sex that you want.
Amen.
And if you don't want sex, I want you to be at peace with that too. Mm-hmm. I want you to look in the mirror and say, God damn, I'm fucking gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so much of how we view fat is cultural here in the United States. If you say the word fat, it's like all of a sudden it's an insult. It's like you go to different cultures, they're just like, oh, you're fat. And it's not like, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
That's just another describing word.
But I also want you to unconditionally love yourself exactly the way you are. And if you don't love yourself the way you are, that's okay too.
Right.
Let's treat the body as this amazing place that you can have a journey with. And I want you to have the most delicious food and the most oxygen in your body and the most exercise and happiness in your life. Make it an adventure and a goal and a destination that you're going to go to.
And then also, it's like, here's the thing. Like, most people, and like myself included, we have your own negative opinions about your body. Sometimes, like, there's girls at my work that are, like, all size zero. And, like, I swear, the other day, they were all sitting around. They're like, I need to lose weight. Like, I have, like, 20 pounds to lose. Meanwhile, my fat ass, I'm sitting there like, who the fuck are these girls talking to? Mm-hmm. Like, your waist is the same size as my thigh, honey. What the fuck?
It's all a matter of perception.
Are we complaining about? So I get it. It's all a matter of perception. And no one... I wonder if anyone's just like 100% into their bodies as they are, period. Like, even Lizzo, I don't care how much she loves herself, I'm pretty sure that she wakes up in the morning and there's something about her that she doesn't like. We all do that. Mm-hmm. My hair is just not working today. Whatever.
But I like the casual look.
And I, you know? Again, and see, that's what I mean. It's like,
it means that, like, when I see you dressed like this and stuff, it mm-hmm. means that you feel comfortable. I don't know, shade of disrespect. It means that you feel comfortable enough being your authentic self around me. And that makes me feel safe. It makes me feel accepted by you. And everybody wants to be validated and accepted and feel safe.
And it took me decades. I'm 32. Yeah. I don't know why that matters. I'm 32. Who cares? I'm 32, and it literally took me up until my 30th birthday to gain any sort of confidence in myself. Because I
imagine if how dangerous you are today. Imagine how dangerous you'll be when you're 40, 50, and 60.
Imagine
how
did
you
get that 10 confidence? Years ago. I got frustrated being depressed all the time, mm-hmm. and it's just kind of like. I remember after my mom passed, my best friend made me go to a therapist because I was like, I don't need to go to that shit. That's what white folks do. Which is a whole nother thing in the black community. Y'all go to a therapist. If you need to talk to somebody,
there's a lot of shit going down.
Because your friends are not helpful. I'm telling you right now. Some of them are great, but for the most part, they're not. And so, like, go talk to another human being. But it took me the longest because, like, growing up, I would always hear about, like, how big I was. And even like, even now, like, I wear, like, a 14, which is whatever. But even when I was doing CrossFit mm-hmm. every day for, like, years, I was still thickums. Like, this is just how I am. So to be so upset over I don't look like instant girl here and I don't look like insert girl here, fuck them, because they have their own personal problems too. So it took me 30 years, like literally like 30 years. I didn't, just the confidence to leave Dallas and move to Austin took like 29. Because I've been drilled in my head for so long. You need to put on a girdle. You know that you can't wear stuff like that. You too big. You too this and da 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 da. And especially when you're like looking for relationships and things like that. I've never had very many of those anyway. Mm-hmm. I feel like my average is like one a year. Not trying.
You're talking about like romantic encounters, or
yes.
Oh, you're like Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey's a liar.
She's only had sex with 5 guys her entire life.
Mariah Carey works out in 6-inch stilettos.
Maybe that's the key.
Maybe it's because she's Mariah Carey and she has these notes and she's so gorgeous and we all know her that I find it extremely hard to believe. But hey, she could be telling the truth. I don't know.
Not 5 guys for the burger joint, but like actually 5 different people.
Right. Yeah.
And so recently she's been dating her 36-year-old backup dancer, Brian Tanaka.
Oh, are they still a thing?
They're still a thing.
I was hoping she'd go back to Nick. I'm not gonna lie.
I like Nick.
I liked her and Nick. Yeah. Nick is crazy, but I like them.
But I think the thing about it is with her is that she's always saying something that just comes across as disingenuous.
She is living. Here's why I love Mariah Carey. She has been living in this fantasy world that she created with butterflies and lambs and whatever else for so long. She's like a flamingo in the middle of the jungle. Like, where did you come from? Have you ever
just
watched
an exotic
her show?
Bird on the roof, and you think, oh my God, peacocks, they're amazing.
Right.
And then you get one, and it's, and you're like, shut that bird up.
Did you ever watch a reality show on E?
Yes, I did. Yeah, it's a wonder. Whitney Houston being Bobby Brown.
I want
those two, yeah.
If anyone's listening, if you can get me being Bobby Brown on DVD,
I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
Do so many things for
it
you.
It was heartbreaking to watch Whitney Houston interacting with her daughter, though, and she'd always berate her on camera. And I'm like, if this is how she treats her daughter when the cameras are rolling, imagine when the cameras are not rolling.
It was a crack.
And Mariah's getting sued all over the place because I guess like she takes her personal assistant's credit cards and uses those and will reimburse them because they don't want her to have credit cards because she just spends so much money. She has money, but she spends a lot of money. They're trying to keep it under control.
Does she have like Michael Jackson spending habits?
Oh, yeah. She just buy, 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 buy.
Okay, well,
she's
then that's
buying
problems.
And then also,
shit like
too,
that.
She doesn't want to, you know, let people know, like, she'll buy it because she wants it. She doesn't want her name on it either. So she's buying stuff. And then
that I can understand. Like, you don't want people to know. I know our friend Beyonce, Janelle Knowles Carter, she does that. Like, if, say, they want to go to a restaurant or something, I know, like, they'll send, because her fans are so... y'all find a hobby. Celebrities are not it. Find something else to do. Like, is, I love Robert De Niro. I always say I'm obsessed with Robert De Niro. I don't have his phone number, and I'm not trying to get it either, right?
Are people trying to call Beyonce?
People will find out everyone who works in their camp, their phone numbers, and then their schedules, and follow them. Because what B likes to do is, like, she'll send someone to the restaurant the minute it opens. So, like, they open at 12 and they close at 2 a.m. She sends them there at 12 and they sit there all fucking day. And then, like, an hour before it's over, they'll come. Like, an hour before the restaurant closes.
Why would they sit there all day? Just to-
what does that accomplish?
Because they don't want anyone to think, they don't want anyone, they're basically scoping out every single person that walks in the restaurant.
That sounds a bit of an exaggeration.
She ate at a pizza place right over here.
To make sure it's safe. Really?
Yeah, yeah, right here in our neighborhood, right here in Andersonville. The place is now closed, but GQ rated it the best pizza in the United States, so Jay-Z and Beyonce were like, we're getting some of that pizza.
They probably bought the chef.
That pizza joint was a real interesting place. You've watched the Seinfeld episode of the Soup Nazi, right? So this pizza place...
I've never seen Seinfeld.
Well, so it's a very famous episode where they had amazing soup.
No soup for you.
Exactly. Yeah,
I know that one.
It's kind of like that.
And if you did not come correctly into this pizza guy's joint, he would not serve you. And he said, you're going to have to leave.
And amen.
So you had to pay cash, and it was the world's best pizza in our own backyard. And so for my birthday... I was just walking past it and I was like, oh my God, this place is going to open. So I had cash in my hand and I'm like, Mark, we're going to eat here. And he says, I will be able to seat you in 2 hours. So I had to wait outside of the restaurant. There was not a chair or anything, sitting on the sidewalk for 2 hours. And finally, Mark and I had pizza. And it was we had mushroom.
Was it amazing?
Wait, let me just tell you what we had. So it was a salad first. We had a microgreen salad,
which was delicious.
And then we had a pizza with three different kinds of sliced mushrooms and four different kinds of cheeses and a sausage pizza as well. That's with some sun-dried tomatoes and basil. I still remember it to this day.
That sounds good.
It really was some of the best pizza I've ever eaten.
That's it. I don't believe in waiting. that's like my biggest problem. There's probably lots of things that I've missed out on because I'm like, you want me to stand in what line?
I wouldn't eat there again, but I'm really glad I had that experience because that place was legendary and the guy was so eccentric and he loved pizza. He hated running a restaurant. He hated the customers.
That happens.
You know? People, I always say this, people can go to hell. Individuals are beautiful, wonderful human beings.
Oh, that's very sweet.
But this is a common thread that we've noticed in people who pursue their passions, especially when it comes to the creative arts. They love performing. They love lip syncing. They love throwing jokes.
I want to lip sync.
They love doing things.
Yeah.
But, you know, show business is also customer service. It's interacting with the public. And if you worked a customer service job, about 10% of that public is going to be super insane and rude.
Yeah.
And want the Little Mermaid to be white.
And they're going to want the Little Mermaid to be white. They're going to walk in. They go, excuse me, is your little mermaid, is she white or is she black? Because there's one white answer, and I'm going to leave if you don't give me the right one.
Now, you guys are starting to listen to the show Pose on FX. Last week's episode was extraordinary with the mummy. This episode delivers what we've been hinting at since last season.
Well, it was kind of foreshadowed.
It was foreshadowed.
You can't do a show about trans women of color and not have one of them end up murdered.
And right. they killed off a major character. No one saw it. Well, some people saw it coming.
She was my top pick after Peppermint. Sorry.
Spoiler alert.
So, like, needless to say,
I was so happy to see Peppermint on the show. Sorry.
Like, Vivacious calls me late last night, and she is just devastating. And all her social media today, if you don't want a spoiler, don't look at Vivacious's page, because it's all talking about it. And people are like, what are you doing, Vivacious? And she's like, I don't care. I am dying. I'm crying. I'm still crying inside. It's a brutal episode. It is, I hope that it draws attention to the horrible condition and reality that trans women of color face in this country, and also how our legal system is just not supporting them.
They don't care.
And it's failing them.
It's failing. You know? We are failing them.
Yeah. And
one of the characters says that, you know, in that year, what is it, 1991, this is taking place, that 11 trans people had been killed already that year. And I want to say here in the United States, I don't know if it's the same number, and it's 2019, or it might even be 16 or something. It's crazy. Yeah.
I think they threw out a statistic at the end of the...
There was a trans black lady that was killed in Dallas last month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She had gotten jumped the month prior.
Mm-hmm.
And then... We've had
several in Chicago that are killed. There may even be a serial killer stalking them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the show actually said that...
I think 1,000 people...
Over 1,000 people had been murdered.
Yeah. In the world, right?
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's really sad, and it's one of those things that like pisses me off. Mm-hmm. How in America, well, it's everywhere, but like especially here because that's where we live. How we can prioritize certain types of lies, but not other ones. Like I was watching Trump, that fucking piece of shit. I was watching Trump at the Faith and Family Coalition prayer conference. It was like the first time I ever like literally live watched him do a whole speech. Because normally I'll watch it like the day before or the day after, and 5 minutes into it, I'm like trying not to break my television because I'm like, ah, you fucking idiot. But I do specifically remember there was one point where he sat there and he goes, he literally said, because every life, no matter how big or small. And then he said, like, alive or dead. I'm like, what the fuck? What?
Oh,
every life, no matter how big or small, matters, and it should be counted.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the next sentence was, like, fuck these children. And
it was like,
what?
The disconnect is completely real.
All human lives matter except for children that are in cages. All human lives matter except for trans. Mm-hmm. All human lives matter except for, like, black folks. Like, it's just...
That's insane.
It's exhausting.
And that's part of the intersectionality of about so many of these issues. When you look at something like Medicare for All, healthcare for all, you know, I think that a lot of the problems that trans people suffer through is medical complications, right?
Yeah.
Because it's access to the correct healthcare. And once you can solve that problem, a lot of these other issues I feel will go away. You know, if somebody says, hey, I'm trans, I need help from a doctor, then they'll be able to transition at a younger age, whenever they feel comfortable with it, and maybe that will keep them away from vulnerable positions, that maybe they won't have to be out there you know, selling their bodies for sex to pay for some kind of operation.
Unless you want to.
If you want to. That's, you
but again,
know,
too,
and then
again,
we need to legalize sex work as well.
We need to legalize sex work, but it's also, too, I think that, you know, a lot of people say the reason they do the sex work is because
they
got to
pay for it, yeah.
You know?
It's as someone who's frequently poor. I often...
You're a comedian. What else?
I'm frequently poor. This is what I did. I always kind of play that game with myself of like, what would it take for me to start sex work? Like, how, like...
So this is... I've done sex work. And I did it
totally
when I was young.
Because I totally would if I wasn't like...
And this is
what
I tell everybody, and I'll tell this to you, right? Sex work involves you, like any job... It means doing things that you don't necessarily want to because you have to pay your bills.
Right.
And sex work involves having sex with people or having sex that you don't want to and having sex when you don't want to in order to pay the bills. And if you're comfortable with doing that, then definitely explore that. But if this is something that's a challenge for you, I say So the internet is much more easier to control that door, that window.
I watch those documentaries all the time with the cam girls. Their lives are so fascinating to me.
You can do a mukbang video. You can do ASMR. You can do anything that your creative mind can conjure up. And hopefully, if it's sexy enough to somebody, someone will be willing to pay you to do it.
Look, my friend Jasmine has this like awesome joke, but there's like, especially when it comes to sex, if you feel like someone doesn't want you, just know that there's someone out there like jerking it to Handless Hookers 5. Like that's what they want. That's their thing. So there's something for every.
Do you know Vicky Hooks?
Oh, no. You know she doesn't know Vicky Hooks.
No.
Google Vicky Hooks.
I want to know.
She's Vicky. She's a cross dresser. Who pretends to be a quadruple amputee who likes to put catheters on herself as well with her hooks. So she's pretty, you know, far out there in terms of like what.
If it makes you want this dollar, then go for it.
And, you know, her name's Vicky Hooks. She looks like a Vicky and she has hooks.
She looks like a Vicky. As I've gotten older, like I feel like I've gotten way. And also, I also feel like I'm just older. And people like old soul or something like that. Cause I was 16-year-old being like, get off my lawn. Like I was like, why are these kids out so late? And that was me when I was like 16. But I feel like as I've gotten older, I've just gotten way more understanding of other people's whatever it is. Or like, well,
they're freak
like
on.
Way, yeah, yeah, that and just like sure. Way less judgmental of it all. Like
look at all those 10 years ago, dick ads on Facebook, you know, it's like,
right. Me 10 years ago, I just would be like, how could you? Oh my God. Like, why would you do that to yourself? And you're like, why? And now I'm just kind of like, girl, if that's what got you a dollar, then go for it. Like, I don't, because I'm realizing more and more, it's like, whatever it is that you're doing truly doesn't have any effect on me. Like your personal life isn't like now law for mine. So I don't, like when I say I don't care, like I genuinely mean, I'm like, I don't, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
Have fun.
If it's consensual,
I'm going home.
Do it.
But you do that. Like, who cares?
But I do think that a lot of, especially, you know, interacting with our audience and our audience sometimes is hurting and they reach out to us on social media. And part of it is like, I think for a lot of young people, they don't set boundaries.
They don't.
Like, it's, especially in bondage and sadomasochistic culture. And we kind of joke about this as like my safe word is cupcake. So it was like, cupcake. Cupcake, but a lot of young people just don't know how to say no and put themselves in dangerous situations.
They don't know how to say no. That's
where their well-being or, you know, their ability to access oxygen, water, life is compromised.
But I think that goes all the way back to the beginning of this conversation with Kim Kardashian and her family. Because like, because everything is so sexed up nowadays and no one wants to say no and no one wants to do anything like that, I also feel like you get a lot of people who feel like that sexiness is what they're supposed to do, because they only learn things through porn, through Instagram, instead of like, I don't know, talking to somebody.
Well, you can post a picture of yourself and it gets some likes, but then you post a picture of yourself shirtless or topless or whatever, and then it gets a million likes.
And so you go, like, okay, so what people like is for my, you know, labia to be exposed at all times. Mm-hmm. Great.
But your job is not to get the maximum number of likes. Your job is to guide your audience into the areas and things that you think would be helpful and curious and interesting to you and to them.
Yeah.
So like we could talk about we could talk about Kim Kardashian. We could be Perez Hilton on this podcast, you know.
Does he still exist?
He's somewhere, around. You know, if not Perez Hilton, the latest du jour, you know, we could be doing makeup tutorials, you know.
Yeah.
And part of it is like, we're not doing these things because we don't think that they play well. They play very well. But for us, it's not something that we think is constructive to our audience. And we don't think that obsessing on celebrities to that level, on that superficial level, is a healthy place for us or our audience to be.
Well, I found that I feel like with audiences, from my experience, what people respond to is not necessarily, of course, if you have your tits out, of course, we're all going to look, duh. Like, I feel like what people respond to and they connect with is when they realize that someone is being a person, and then that's what they like. So if your thing on the internet is you, like, you know, doing I watch a lot of like hair tutorials, right? If that's what you're doing, then okay, cool. But if there's some element about you that's like fake, mm-hmm. I'm going to continue and mm-hmm. go to the next person. But I think the people who have like some sort of like following or anything like that, they're very much so their authentic selves, and they're real, and people connect to being like, oh, they're just a normal, what people love. They're just a normal person. I can't believe this celebrity was just so normal. That's what people love. They don't like, I feel like people might meet Mariah Carey and be excited for like 25 minutes. But if Mariah Carey was Mariah Carey every day when you were around her, that shit gets old and tiring and you end up divorced.
That's why
she takes your credit card and she buys a bunch of shit and you got to sue her in court. And it's a lot of work because you know what? She's just a normal person.
Well, that's why she got Lee Daniels to put her in that film, you know, without makeup.
They don't even give me certain
and Precious. So she would be seen as like an everyday
and
person.
Precious based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
Mm-hmm. What? Yes, you don't like the movie?
That. Listen, Lee Daniels, if you're listening, I would love to work with you because I work with anyone. I truly do believe that you can dislike something someone's done mm-hmm. and still support what they do.
Absolutely.
And for some reason, it's like people act like you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, of course.
But before we wrap up, though, I wanted to talk about this study that we sort of wanted to talk about at the beginning of people who hate Kim Kardashian secretly hate themselves. Which sounds like something Kim Kardashian's publicist would release.
Well, they did a whole symposium on Kim Kardashian. And one of the persons presented that, you know, they said if you hate the Kardashians, basically you need to be introspective because it's like you need to figure out what it is they're doing that you hate because you're probably
the Kardashians hate the Kardashians.
Do they?
Yeah, you can tell by all the plastic surgery in their faces.
Mm. But is that
what
hate
does it mean to hate
you?
Yourself or to love yourself exactly?
Like, I think the Kardashians don't like themselves, or I feel like they love themselves in the sense that they love their personas and they love who they are publicly. I would question if anyone with the last name Kardashian or Jenner really, well, maybe not Jenner because a lot of the Jenners aren't famous and they're fine. But like, I feel like Kylie never got a chance to know who herself was because like the minute she turned 13, they put all that plastic surgery in her face and she doesn't even look like the same person anymore. Kim still looks like Kim. Whoever does Kim's plastic surgery has been killing it because they do it very subtly and like over time and you don't notice.
It's just a little injections and stuff, isn't it? Isn't
Kim's
it Botox
had a
or
nose job. Kim's jawline is different. The Botox, her waist is small. Like if you truly look at Kim over the years, she's just slightly morphed into an actual Barbie doll.
Mm.
That's not, but if you go all the way back to when she was cracking Paris Hilton's toe knuckles on her little reality show, that's not the same person.
But what they do to me is very irrelevant, and who they are is irrelevant. I'm more interested in this idea that gets tossed around, especially RuPaul likes to say it a lot, and is if you can't love yourself, how are you going to love somebody else? But what does it really mean to love yourself? Because we all are, you know, have doubts about the actions we've taken. Sometimes mm-hmm. we feel bad that we reacted too strongly to something. You know, and part of it is like, it's this idea about ourselves and how we think about ourselves as this idea that we can't question ourselves. We can't question any of our decisions because that means not loving yourself.
Well, that's stupid. You should be questioning it because you 5 minutes ago is not the same person you are right now. Right. So mm-hmm. like what it means to like love yourself, I feel like that might change per person. Some people might be like, I know I love myself because I'll wear whatever I want to wear. I don't care. I don't need no man. I don't need no girl. I don't need nothing. And it's like, okay, that's cool. You enjoy hanging out with yourself. Some people loving themselves might mean their family. I think it depends. Mm-hmm. I feel like most people can tolerate themselves and like they accept and approve since the definition of tolerance just means to accept, not to hate. Like, oh, I'll just, not the way people say it nowadays of like, oh, I'll tolerate you. Tolerate means accept, right? So mm-hmm. being able to accept yourself, I think it's the same thing as like being able to love yourself. But I feel like more people for sure know that they hate themselves before they will ever figure out.
What does that
out.
Even mean, though, sometimes? It's like, I hear people who sort of being defeatist mm-hmm. or have this idea that they're undesirable or unworthy of love, but that stemming from the idea that they're not loving themselves yet. And, like, I'm more with Mr. Rogers, and this class, this actually is a Christian idea, which is you are worthy of being appreciated.
Yes.
To be listened to. You are worthy of sympathy and kindness, not by anything that you've done, but just by being a human being.
Yeah.
By existing, you are worthy of love.
It's self-validation. I think that might be part of it too. Like being able to self-validate. Cause a lot of people are like, okay, I'm like, cause I, like I said, I used to be like that way too. Like I felt like no one's ever going to like love me. I get that people think that I'm just this terrible fucking piece of shit and blah, blah, blah. And eventually that seeps into your own brain. And then you're like, I am worthless. I am nothing. I am like, why am I here? I have no talent. I have mm-hmm. no skills. I have no nothing. I have no money, no real value to society, let alone myself. And it's weird. Like, what is like Rude, the inner saboteur or whatever. Mm-hmm. You literally have
the shadow belief.
Yeah. Coffee. You literally just kind of, and it sounds so easy. Like, oh, you just have to stop. But like, you do. Like, I don't know well how else to describe it. In Dallas, I felt all of those things. Like, I'm not worthy of any of this shit. And then I turned 30 and I was just like, but here's the deal. Unless I'm going to, I can continue to be upset and I can continue to be depressed and I can continue to have my hair break off and fall out and do all this other stuff and yada, yada, yada. Or I can fake it till I make it. And that's literally what I'm like,
fake it till you make it.
If you're like, I don't think I'm fine, just get up, throw some makeup on, put some glitter on, just put on something that you shouldn't be wearing to Walmart and go anyway.
But how do you how do you be your authentic self and then, but also be a fake?
because you can figure out the extremes. If you can go to an extreme and you go, if you're like, I don't like living in hot weather, and mm-hmm. then you move to Texas in the summer, mm-hmm. you're going to be like, okay, I love living in hot weather. Or you can fairly figure out, that's not what I meant. Mm-hmm. That's not what I meant at all. I just like warmer climates. Mm-hmm. I always say, like, people always say they want someone to be completely truthful and honest with them, and that's what they pray for, and that's, oh, I just want someone to be real with me, yada, yada, yada. And then God sends them me, and then they realize that's not what they wanted in the first place. They just wanted someone to be nice. And it's like, okay, mm-hmm. so you came to me for truth, you got truth, and you realized you didn't really want truth. So I feel like you have to go to the extremes in order to figure out what mm-hmm. does and does not work for you.
Sometimes a nice little white lie goes a long way.
Yeah, proceed as if the outcome is in your favor.
I used to only tell the brutal, hard truth to people. Because mm-hmm. for the longest, I was like, why do people think I'm a bitch? Like, I don't understand. I used to only say, like, the hard mm-hmm. truth. And then I realized that's not necessarily what other people are necessarily looking at. And I realized, okay, that is kind of harsh that you asked me how this looked and I literally told you look fucking terrible and that's your wedding dress. Like, I didn't know.
And you're walking down the aisle.
It's like, it's too late now. Just go. I don't even know what to do. But then you kind of realize, Muriel, it's kind of like, okay, there's a, that's not necessarily turning that part of me off, but there's like a time and a place and there's like a wording for it. Right.
Yeah.
You can tell someone your wedding dress is ugly without telling someone your wedding dress is ugly. Mm. You learn subtleties. And I feel like that's just like getting older and like more mature or whatever.
Sure. Rachel Hall.
Yes.
You're a roller coaster ride.
I know. And I've never been on one of those before either.
You've never been on a roller coaster?
Hell no. I've never been on a damn roller coaster. My body was not meant to be out going at 70 miles an hour and upside down.
You don't know it.
I've done it.
Till you make it. Where can people see you perform out? Because you are a working comedian here in the town of Chicago. Where do people see you at?
I am. So I'm not going to lie, I can't remember when my next show is. I know there's one coming. Okay. However, every Wednesday, every single Wednesday, live at 5:30, you can catch me on the Instagram. Mm-hmm. Is it the Instagram or is it Instagram?
Just Instagram.
Okay. You can catch me on Instagram. If you go to Go Hard Chicago, that's formerly the Laugh Factory Chicago page.
That's a whole nother
Some drama for another day.
Laugh Factory changed their name?
It's drama for another day.
Oh my God.
They changed the Instagram page. But there's still like 30,000 followers on it. So like you guys go check it out. But we do a live show every Wednesday at 5:30. So at Central Time. So for sure, you can always catch me on Instagram.
Are you going to make the show today? Because you guys have to go see a movie.
Oh, no. I already told them that Beyonce's presence might be available. So.
Masiwenya. Yes. Do you know what that means?
Hell no.
That means the lion's here.
Well, no, does it really?
Yeah. I'm so jealous that you guys are going to go see The Lion King without me. So, you know, I'm going to say to you guys, Hakuna your mama.
Remember, folks, we can't do this show without your support. We are on Patreon, patreon.com/feastoffun. Yes. We get behind-the-scenes goodies and access to all our podcasts before other people get them. And as well, become a member at feastoffun.com/plus and access 15 years of amazing podcasts. Honey, if we did not fake it till we make it, we're still proceeding as if the outcome is going to be in our favor, because otherwise,
speak it into existence.
Mm-hmm. We would not be here 15 years later.
We also have t-shirts for sale at our store, feastoffun.com/store, or maybe you'd like to make a one-time donation. You can do that at feastoffun.com/donate. Every little bit helps. Every little bit helps us to create this show that you've loved and enjoyed for years and ensures its future.
Can I say my Instagram,
yes,
my handle?
Okay. Absolutely.
Everyone, follow me on Instagram. I hate this sentence. Follow me on Instagram.
Go Kim Kardashian.
That's the only way I'm going to get to Saturday Night Live. So, Rachel Hall is funny, and that's also on the Cash App.
Well, all right.
All right. Put your bank account number out there, too. Hey, I wanted to shout out to Larry LaFontaine and Omar, Chris Ramirez, Charles Nierman, Mark Sanford, David Johnson, Kevin,
Pablo, who got a t-shirt.
Pablo and Tom and Percival, who have all been very helpful and wonderfully supportive on Patreon.
Yay.
You guys are awesome. We love you. We adore you. Rachel Hall, thank you so much. I had so much fun talking to you.
It's been fun, Rachel.
You guys, I love talking.
I noticed.
Please come back sometime, okay?
Yes,
I promise.
Please, yes.
Well, we have to talk about The Lion King next week.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Well, Mark and I, we're going to be going on a couple's retreat at
Lucky.
A local church.
Oh, what?
not a church, but okay. You know. We're going to basically go to a water park.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about
this.
We're
going to go up to the Dells.
We're going to the Wisconsin Dells. I talked to a nurse practitioner, mm-hmm. not Karma, but she said water parks are filled with germs.
And
oh, really?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Well, they use a lot of
bleach.
Yeah.
And I'm like, listen, I've ridden water parks. What's a little staph infection, huh? Mm-hmm.
Look, you're in the water.
It'll be fine, right?
Anything goes.
So we're going to be taking off this week, and we'll be posting some fabulous reruns of our shows, and then all new Feast of Fun episodes coming the following week.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. And we'll be talking about the Lion King special. We're going to be, I guess, you and I will live stream on,
yes,
on Facebook.
I will.
You're embargoed, so you guys can do a video today if you want, yes, after the show, but you can't post it until tomorrow.
That's right. That's right. Otherwise, we won't. Beyonce will be pissed off.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, we'll be banned from the Beehive.
She's like, mm-hmm, did somebody say my name? Mm-hmm. I heard you saying my name, Rachel Hall. You are finished.
You do it so much better than I do.
Bye, bye, everyone.
Bye.
Holler.